Radio Theater. Come on in and sit a while. Relax. Put your feet up while we tell you a story or two. For this week's broadcast, we've chosen a comedy entitled The Boy Comes Home by A.A. Milne of Winnie the Pooh fame. Few people know that Milne also wrote several plays, and this one was first produced by Mr. Owen Nares at the Victoria Palace Theater on September 9th, 1918. Now we hope you enjoy this presentation of A.A. Milne's The Boy Comes Home. Our story takes place shortly after World War I. Philip, who is just home from the war, is staying with his Uncle James. It is mid-morning, and Philip enters the sitting room, taking a seat in a heavy armchair in front of the fire. Realizing he is hungry, he rings the servant's bell.
Did you ring, Master Philip?
Yes, I want some breakfast, please, Mary.
The breakfast dishes were cleared away an hour ago.
Exactly. That's why I rang. You can boil me a couple of eggs or something, and I prefer coffee, not tea.
Why, I don't know what to say. We are not used to variations in our schedule.
We all have to be flexible, Mary. Do you have a problem with my request?
Well, I'll consult Mistress Emily, sir, but breakfast is always served at 8 sharp. That is the rule of the household, just as it was before you went away to the war.
There is no need to consult with Aunt Emily. 2 eggs, and if there's a ham, bring that along, too.
Well, I'm sure I don't know what the mistress will say.
It is not necessary to consult her about this. Now off with you. Shoo. Ah, good morning, Aunt Emily.
There you are, Philip. Good morning, dear. Did you sleep well?
Oh, yes, splendidly, thanks. And how are you this morning?
Quite well. Did you get any breakfast? You were a very naughty boy for being late, you know. I thought they always woke you up early in the army, reveille and all that sort of thing.
They did. That's why, once I got out of the army, I prefer to sleep in late.
Dear me! I thought a habit of 4 years would have made you an early riser.
Every morning for 4 years, as I've been rousted out of bed, I've said to myself, just wait. A time will come when I won't have to get up at the crack of dawn to a blaring bugle. That attitude doesn't really give habit a chance to take hold.
Well, I am happy that you slept so comfortably. I was afraid that a cozy bed would keep you awake after all those years in the trenches.
Well, a soldier isn't in the trenches all the time, and we did get leave on occasion, especially the officers.
You didn't spend much of your leave with us, Philip.
I know, but you do understand, don't you, dear? We were never given much time, hardly enough to make it home and back.
Well, we are not very lively, and I know you must have wanted spirited diversions for the little time they gave you, but I think your Uncle James was a bit miffed. After all, dear, you've lived with us for some years, and he is your guardian.
Yes, yes, I know. You've been a darling to me always, Aunt Emily, but Uncle James and I...
Of course, he can be a little difficult to get along with. I am used to him after all these years. But he is really quite fond of you, Philip.
He always used to frighten me. I suppose it will be just the same. He certainly seemed imposing last night, and he still has breakfast at 8 o'clock on the dot. Been making pots of money, though, I suppose.
He never tells me exactly, but he did speak once about the absurdity of the excess profits tax. You see, the army needs jam, and your uncle's jam factory has been quite successful.
It certainly seems to be.
During the war, it made James so happy because he felt like he was doing his part, helping the poor men in the trenches. Yes, Mary?
I wish to speak to you about the variations in the schedule, ma'am.
There is no need to speak to Aunt Emily. Get my breakfast at once, Mary.
Philip, dear, there is no need to upset Mary.
I ordered breakfast 5 minutes ago, and I expect her to abide by my wishes.
Philip, my poor boy, why didn't you tell me? I dare say I could have got it for you.
Breakfast is at 8 o'clock. It always has been as long as I've been in this house, and always will be until I get further orders.
Well, you've just got further orders. 2 eggs, and if there's a ham...
Orders. We're talking about orders. From whom in this house do I take orders, may I ask?
In this case, from me.
In that case, ma'am, I wish to give a month's notice from today, inclusive.
Certainly. In fact, you'd probably prefer it if my aunt gave you notice, and then you could go at once. We can easily arrange that. And Emily, I have a pen in my checkbook. What do you pay her?
$545.
Let me see. 12 into 545. Mary, I hope you don't mind a check on Cox's bank. Some people do, but this is quite good, I assure you. Here you are.
What's this?
Your wages to date. Now you can go at once.
Who said anything about going?
I'm sorry, I thought you did.
If it's only a bit of breakfast, well, I can get it.
Then let me say again. 2 eggs, ham, and coffee. Mary, bring the ham at once and I'll start on that. I am famished. Thank you, Mary.
Well, very well.
Good heavens, such a fuss over a little bit of breakfast.
Philip, how could you? I was terrified of losing her.
Well, you see, I've done her job for 2 years on the front lines.
What job?
In charge of the mess hall. I think I'll go and see about that ham.
Well, I never.
Is Philip down yet?
He's just having his breakfast, James.
It's 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, I say. 10 o'clock, Emily.
I expect he's tired after that long war.
That's no excuse for not being punctual. I would have thought he'd learn punctuality in the army, but it does not appear so.
I expect he learned it, James, but I understood him to say that he was trying to forget it.
Then the sooner he relearns it again, the better. I particularly stayed away from the office today in order to talk things over with him. And here it is, 10 o'clock, past 10, and no sign of him. I'm practically throwing away the entire day.
What are you going to talk to him about?
His future, naturally. I have decided the best thing he can do is come into the business at once.
Are you really going to talk it over with him, James? Or are you just going to tell him what he must do?
What do you mean, Emily? What's the difference? Naturally, we shall talk it over first, and, naturally, he'll do what I tell him.
I believe he'll do what he thinks best.
Not until he's 25. I am his guardian. When he's 25, he will have his own money and can do what he likes with it. Until then...
But I think you ought to consult him, dear. Let him have his say. After all, he has been fighting for us.
Well, now that's the sort of silly sentiment that there's been too much of lately. I object to it strongly. I don't want to boast, but I think I may claim to have done my share. I suffered from the shortage of potatoes as much as anyone. Indeed, if it hadn't been for your fortunate discovery that you didn't really like potatoes, I don't know how we would have gotten by. And, as I think I've told you before, the excess profits tax is a singularly stupid piece of legislation. But I pay it, and I don't go boasting about how much I paid.
Well, I think that Philip's 4 years out there have made a man of him. He doesn't seem like the boy who can be told what to do. I think they taught him something.
I've no doubt that they've taught him something about bombs and guns and how to march. But I don't see how that sort of thing helps him decide what career is most suitable for a young man after coming out of the army.
Well, I can say only that you'll find him different.
I didn't notice any particular difference last night.
I think you'll find him rather more... I can't quite think of the word, but Mary could tell you what I mean.
Of course. If he likes to earn his living any other way, he may. But it will be difficult as long as I hold the purse strings. Perhaps you'd better tell him that I cannot wait any longer.
Philip! Your uncle is waiting to see you before he goes to the office. Will you be long, dear?
Is he in a hurry?
Yes.
He says he is, dear.
Couldn't he come and talk in here? I'm eating my breakfast.
No.
He says he'd rather you come to him, darling.
Oh, well, all right.
He'll be here directly, dear. Just sit down and make yourself comfortable. He won't keep you long.
The morning is not the time to make oneself comfortable. It's a most dangerous habit. I nearly found myself dropping off in front of the fire just now. I don't like wasting the day.
You should have enjoyed your nap, dear, while you could. We were up so late last night listening to Philip's stories.
Yes, yes. You mustn't neglect your duties, Emily. I've no doubt you have plenty to do.
Yes, James. Then I'll leave you. But don't be hard on the boy.
Well, I shall be just, Emily. You can rely on that.
That's not quite what I meant. But I'll leave it to you.
Sorry to have kept you waiting, but I was a bit late for breakfast. Are we going to talk business or what?
A bit late? About 2 hours late.
All right, Uncle James. Call it 2 hours late. Or 22 hours early for tomorrow's breakfast, if you like. Do you mind if I smoke my pipe?
You smoke now?
Good heavens, of course. What did you think we did in France?
Before you start smoking all over the house, I should have thought you would have asked your aunt's permission.
Certainly. Aunt Emily! Aunt Emily! Do you mind if I smoke?
Of course not, darling.
There. She does not mind.
Now, understand once and for all, Philip. While you remain in my house, I expect not only punctuality, but also civility and respect. I will not have impertinence.
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about, Uncle James. About staying in your house, I mean.
I don't know what you do mean.
Well, we don't get along too well together, and I thought perhaps I could take a room elsewhere. You could give me an allowance until I come into my money. Or, I suppose you could give me the money Father left me now, if you really liked.
You come into your money when you are 25. Your father very wisely felt that to trust a large sum to a mere boy was simply putting temptation in his way. I do not think it appropriate to alter his wishes.
If it comes to that, I am 25.
Indeed? I had an impression that you were 23. When did you become 25, may I ask?
It was on the Somme. We were attacking the next day, and my company was in support. We were in a so-called trench on the edge of a wood, a damned rotten place to be, and we were catching hell. The company commander sent back to ask if we could move. The CO said, certainly not, hang on. We hung on, doing nothing, just waiting for the next day. Of course the Germans knew all about it. Dear old Billy, our company commander, he was one of the best. They got him, poor devil. That left me in command. I sent a runner back to ask if I could move. Well, I'd scouted the area myself and found a trench 500 yards away. I described the position and asked if I could go there. My man never came back. I waited an hour and sent another man. He never returned. Well, I wasn't going to send a third. It was murder. So I had to decide. We'd lost about half the company by this time. There were three things I could do. Hang on, move to this other trench against orders, or go back myself and explain the situation. I moved. And then I went back to the CO and told him I'd moved. That was when I became 25, or 35, or 45.
Yes. No doubt points like that frequently crop up in the trenches. I am glad that you did well out there, and I'm sure your colonel would speak kindly of you. But when it comes to choosing a career for you, my advice should be valuable. Your father evidently thought so, or he would not have entrusted you to my care.
My father didn't foresee this war.
Yes, but you make too much of this war. All the young boys seem to think you've come back from France to teach us. You'll find that it is you who will have to learn, not we.
I'm quite prepared to learn. In fact, I want to.
Excellent. Then we can consider that settled.
Well, we haven't settled what business I'm going to learn.
I don't think that's very difficult. I propose you come into my business. You'll start at the bottom, of course, but it will be a splendid opportunity for you.
It's the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater here on KBIA. Stay tuned. We'll have a short break and then more of The Boy Comes Home here on KBIA.
Here's a warming winter thought. Plan now to rediscover the wonders of outdoor theater at Maplewood Barn this summer. A brand new barn has risen in Nifong Park to replace the one that burned down 2 years ago. And there will be a full season of theater under the stars to delight the whole family. This will be the 40th anniversary season for Maplewood Barn Community Theater, and we open on May 24th with the beloved musical Fiddler on the Roof. Then comes the British comedy How the Other Half Loves, followed by Shakespeare's Hamlet, And then the suspense classic, Wait Until Dark. For details about auditions, the performances, and directions to Call Me as Nai Phong Park, consult the Maplewood website, www.maplewoodbarn.com. Join us this May at Maplewood Barn.
Before we continue with our story, let's take a moment to tell you about a way that you can help us at Maplewood Barn. Have you or a member of your family ever attended one of the shows or acted or helped out with a Maplewood performance? Well, we're researching a book about the Maplewood Barn community players to be published in a celebration of our new home and our 40th anniversary season. It will contain a lot of photos of past shows, costumes, and programs. Unfortunately, we lost a lot of our archives in the fire that destroyed the original historic barn a couple of years ago. If you have any memories or materials to share, we'd like your help. For details, check out our website. It's maplewoodbarn.com. And now, back to our story.
I see. So you've decided it for me, the jam business.
Is there anything to be ashamed of in that?
Oh, no, nothing at all. Only it doesn't happen to appeal to me.
If you knew which side your bread was buttered, it would appeal to you very considerably.
I'm afraid I can't see the butter for the jam.
I don't care for any silly jokes like that.
I see. No, it's no good, Uncle James. You must think of something else.
Perhaps you've thought of something else.
Well, I had some idea of being an architect.
You propose to start learning to be an architect at 23?
Well, I couldn't start before, could I?
Exactly. And now you'll find it's too late.
Is it? Because we've all lost 4 years of our lives. Are there going to be no more architects or doctors or barristers?
And how old do you suppose you'll be before you're earning money as an architect?
The usual time, whatever that may be. If I'm 4 years behind, so is everybody else.
Well, I think it's high time you began to earn a living at once.
Look here, Uncle James. Do you really think that you can treat me like a boy who's just left school? Do you think 4 years at the front made no difference at all?
One difference I would have expected is an increased readiness in obeying orders and recognizing authority.
You seem determined to argue. Perhaps I had better tell you once and for all that I refuse to go into the jam business.
And perhaps I'd better tell you, sir, once and for all, that I will not tolerate rudeness or impertinence.
I remember annoying our brigadier once. He had a very red face, about 20 medals, and cold blue eyes. He told me how angry he was while I stood at attention. I'm afraid you aren't nearly as impressive, Uncle James.
Oh, well, fortunately, I have other means of impressing you. The power of the purse, and I intend to use it.
I see. Yes, this is rather awkward, isn't it?
I think you'll find it very awkward.
Yes. I suppose I shall have to think of another argument. Are you familiar with revolvers, such as this one, Uncle?
What on earth are you doing?
Souvenir from France. Do you know, Uncle James, that this revolver has killed about 20 Germans?
Oh, well, don't go playing about with it here, or you'll be killing Englishmen before you know it.
Well, you never know. It's a nice little weapon. See, if it is pointed at you...
Put it down, sir. You should have learned better than that in the army. You ought to know better than to point an unloaded revolver at anybody. That's the way accidents happen.
Not when you've been trained on revolvers and know all about it. Besides, it is loaded.
Put it down at once, sir. What's the matter with you? Have you gone mad suddenly?
I thought you'd be interested in it. It shot so many Germans.
Well, it shouldn't be shot anymore, and the sooner you get rid of it, the better.
I wonder, has it occurred to you, Uncle James, that there are about 100,000 people in England who own revolvers, are quite accustomed to them, and who have nobody to practice on now?
No, sir, it certainly hasn't.
I wonder if it will make any difference. You know, one gets so used to shooting at people, it's rather difficult to realize suddenly that one shouldn't.
I don't know what the object of this tomfoolery is, but you understand that I expect you to come to the office with me tomorrow at 9 o'clock. please see that you are punctual.
Uncle James.
I have no more...
Damn it, sir. Stand at attention when you talk to an officer. That's better. Now I have your attention. You can sit down if you like.
Please don't point that gun at me. What does this bluff mean?
It isn't a bluff. It's quite serious. Do sit down.
Threat, eh?
Persuasion.
At the point of a revolver? You settle your arguments by force? Good heavens! That is what we were fighting to prevent.
We were fighting. We. Uncle, you're humorist.
Well, you, if you prefer. But those of us who stayed at home...
Yes, never mind about the excess profits tax now. I can tell you quite well what we fought for. We used force to put down force. That's what I'm doing now. You were going to use force, the force of money, to make me do what you wanted. Now, I'm using force to stop it.
You're going to shoot your old uncle?
Why not? I've shot loads of old uncles, I'm sure, at the front.
But those were Germans. It's different shooting Germans. You're in England now. Shooting someone is a crime.
Ah, but after 4 years of war, a person develops different ideas about the sanctity of human life.
But juries have kept pretty much the same ideas, I believe.
Yes, but revolvers can go off accidentally. You said so yourself. This is going to be a complete accident. Can't you see it in the papers? The deceased nephew, who was obviously upset...
So you think it's brave to come back from the front and threaten a defenseless man with a revolver? Is that the sort of fair play they teach you in the army?
Why, of course it is. You don't think we waited until the other side had as many guns as us before we attacked? You're really rather lucky. Strictly speaking, I ought to have thrown half a dozen bombs at you first. As it happens, I've got one here.
Put that away at once!
See, you hold it in the right hand, so, taking care to keep the lever down. Then you take the pin in your finger, so, and... But perhaps this doesn't interest you?
Put it down at once, sir! Good heavens, it might explode!
Does it ever occur to you, Uncle James, that there are about 3 million people in England who know all about bombs and how to throw them and...
Of course it does not occur to me! I do not think of such things!
It's rather against my principles as a soldier, but just to make things a bit more fair, here... You take the bomb, and I will keep the revolver.
Certainly not. It might go off at any moment.
Never mind. It's quite useless. There's no detonator. Now then, let's talk business.
What do you want me to do?
All I ask from you is that you should be reasonable.
And if I refuse, you'll shoot me?
Well, I don't quite know, Uncle James. I expect we will go through this little scene again tomorrow. We'll rehearse it every day, and one day, if you go on being unreasonable... The revolver will go off. You probably think I don't have the courage to fire, but you can't be quite certain. It's 100 to 1 that I won't. Only I might. Fear. It's a horrible thing.
Pooh, I will not be bluffed like that.
You're quite right. You're not that sort. I made a mistake. I will shoot you right now. Hold still. 1, 2...
Philip! Mercy! What are your terms?
Good man. That's the spirit. Here, make yourself comfortable in front of the fire, and I'll be right back. Yes, you wanted to see me, Uncle James?
That's all right, my boy. That's all right. What have you been doing?
Eating breakfast. Rather late, I'm afraid.
That's all right.
Anything the matter? You look a bit pale.
I seem... to have dropped asleep in front of the fire. Most unusual thing for me to have done. Most unusual.
Let that be a lesson to you not to get up so early. Of course, if you're in the army, you can't help yourself. Thank heaven I'm out of it and my own master again.
Ah, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Sit down, Philip.
Oh, you take the easy chair, Uncle. I shall be all right over here.
No, you come here. I could drop off again.
All right. Do you mind if I smoke my pipe?
Why, yes, of course, go ahead. Well now, Philip, what are you going to do now that you've left the army?
Burn my uniform and sell my revolver.
Your revolver?
Well, I don't want it now, do I?
No, most certainly not, I should say. Oh, I can't see why you should want it at all. You're in England now, no need for revolvers here, eh?
Well, no, I hope not.
Yes. Well, now, Philip, what's next? We must find a profession for you.
I suppose so. I haven't really thought much about it.
You never wanted to be an architect?
Architect?
Or anything like that?
It's a bit late, isn't it?
Well, if you're 4 years behind, so is everybody else.
To tell the truth, I don't care much one way or the other. Anything you like, except a bellboy. I absolutely refuse to wear a uniform again.
How would you like to come into the business?
The jam business? Well, I don't know. You wouldn't make me salute you in the mornings.
Oh, my dear boy, no!
All right, I'll try it if you like. I don't know if I'll be any good at it. What do you do?
It's your experience in managing and handling people, which I hope will be most valuable.
Oh, I can do that all right. Uncle James, do you realize that I'm never going to salute again, or wear a uniform, or get wet? Really wet, I mean. Or examine men's feet, or stand to attention when I'm spoken to, or... Oh, lots more things. And best of all, I'm never going to be frightened again. Have you ever known what it is to be afraid? Really afraid?
Well...
No, you couldn't. Not really afraid of death, I mean. Well, that's all over now. Good Lord, I could spend the rest of my life in the British Museum and be happy.
All right. We'll try you in the office. I expect you want a holiday first, though?
Why, Uncle, this is holiday. Being in London is holiday. Buying an evening paper. Running after a bus. Anything. It's all a holiday after what I've been through.
All right, then. Come along with me now, and I'll introduce you to Mr. Bamford.
Right. Who's he?
Our manager. A little stiff, but a very good fellow. He'll be delighted to hear that you are coming into the firm.
Perhaps I'd better bring my revolver in case he isn't.
A good joke, that. A good joke, but only a joke, of course. Come along, my boy.
As they exit, James turns at the door and looks around the room in a bewildered way. Was it a dream, or wasn't it? He will never be quite certain. We hope you have enjoyed this presentation of A.A. Milne's The Boy Comes Home, brought to you by Maplewood Barn Radio Theater and KBIA. The show was produced by Darren Helwich and adapted for radio by Brad Buchanan. Our players were Rita Maloney as Mary, Joe Bogue as Philip, Lee Wilkins as Emily, and David Black as James. This is your narrator, Brad Buchanan, hoping you will join us again next week for another story here on Maplewood Barn Radio Theater.